My name is Jawanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is going to be another powerful, powerful show. Hope everybody's doing well. I'd like to say namaste to everyone and get ready because today's show is going to be very, very special and you're going to grow as a result of tuning in today. You will be blessed for your time. This show is going to be, you know, a very timely show as well. My topic today, or the topic for today, is trust in a changing world. Trust in a changing world. You know, life is very interesting, and there's always something going on, you know, and things are always changing, you know. But how do you trust with so many fluctuations going on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis? How do you continue to trust God? How do you continue to trust the process? How do you continue to trust yourself? Well, we're going to be talking about all of that today with my special guest, and I'm very honored to have an opportunity to interview for the very first time a sister that came recommended to me with very high, high recommendations. So I would love to introduce you to her. Her name is Sister Jenna, introducing her to some, you know, reacquainting her with others. And Sister Jenna, Sister Dr. Jenna, is a spiritual leader, an author, a radio and TV personality, a renowned speaker and founder of the Meditation Museum in Maryland and Virginia. She serves as one of the evolutionary leaders in service to conscious evolution and was selected by Empower and a Billion Women 2020 as one of the 100 most influential leaders of 2015. She's also an advisory team member of the Million Mamas Movement. Sister Dr. Jenna also served as a principal partner with the Oprah Winfrey Network and values partnership on the Belief Team, a community of individuals from diverse spiritual, cultural, and faith backgrounds, and was awarded an honorary Doctor of Humane Letters degree by St. Thomas Aquinas College for her many years of dedication and service to humanity. She's also a contributing author in the book, Mr. President, Interfaith Perspectives on the History on the Historic Presidency of Barack H. Obama. And Sister Jenna's voice of influence is particularly needed at this time in the wake of tragedy and increasing violence in our world. And so, again, it is my honor to introduce to you, everyone, Dr. Sister Jenna. Welcome to Jawanza for Life, my sister. It's a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with you. Thank you for being my guest today.
Hi, my sweet brother, and Om Shanti to everyone. And it's my honor to be on the show with you today, especially because our beautiful brother, Louis Gossett, actually brought us together. So that even makes it even more blessed.
Yes, I spoke to him this morning, and he made point to make sure that I gave my love to you, or gave his love to you, so I'll give you our love.
Receive.
And very special. He said that I was in good hands with you. So my pleasure again. As mentioned, everyone, we're going to be talking about trust in a changing world. Again, so much is going on, and so this show is going to be very, very timely. But Sister Jenna, you are the director of the Washington, D.C. branch of the Brahma Kumeyas, and in 2017, the Brahma Kumeyas celebrated its 20-year anniversary of service in Washington, D.C. What has it been like bringing spirituality to Washington, and what inspired you to open two meditation museums in the nation's capital?
Insanity, but
Well, thank you.
Okay, so first, okay, everyone, as you can see, my way of approaching spirituality has to be one filled with lightness. Being in service in the nation's capital has been very humbling. I have grown, I have learned, and so many as well along the way. And so it continues to be, for me, being here, especially now, an opportunity for me to keep checking my integrity, my dignity, my truthfulness, and honesty, not just as a person who's representing a spiritual voice, but just as God's child, just as God's child. And that's what it's meant for me to be, especially here. It's not a town that is very curious or interested about spirituality, but it's been doing great so far. And the museums were because my great-great-grandfather, Brahma Baba, that founded the Brahma Kumaris, always used to tell us, if you're ever in big cities, do a museum where folks can come in and figure out who they are. And they don't have to be proselytized at. But let them get into a place of such silence that they can feel their truth, their worth, their dignity, and feel what they're actually here to do.
You know, you mentioned integrity, and, you know, I think that's important we touch upon that because there are a lot of people who are, you know, who claim to be, you know, enlightened, so to speak, for just lack of a better term, and there are people who have actually been hurt by people who have claimed, you know, to have reached a particular level of spirituality, you know, and everybody's looking for a teacher. Everybody's looking for someone to say, to believe in, to trust in, you know, even here on earth. I mean, we understand that, you know, God is where all the trust should go, but there are people here who have claimed to have found the way and say, hey, listen, I can point you to that way. And when people are looking to you to show them the way or looking to you because they feel that you have the answers, you know, or some of the answers, or can point them to how they can actually discover the answers within themselves, you know, people tend to place people on pedestals. People tend to, you know, elevate others or even above themselves. And that integrity piece is so important, especially when you are on a spiritual path because, you know, again, when people are following spiritual values and teachings, you know, certain things should fall away, you know, the old person, you know, the old way of doing things. Could you talk about that before we continue on just the integrity piece and how important it is for not just the spiritual leaders to have integrity, but those who judge the spiritual leaders when one falls, you know, even the who look at the spiritual leaders, we ourselves have to have integrity, you know, within ourselves and understanding that everybody is still on a divine journey, you know, and we all haven't made it yet, but integrity is important. Could you talk about that?
Sure. What a great question, because I've been there. I've been on all sides of that. And it's a story I tell quite frequently. When I first got into my own awakening and my pop happened, I was in my early 20s, about 24. I've been involved with the BKs, the Brahma Kumaris, since I was about 17, because both my mother and stepfather, they're teachers. So I used to watch them, and I remembered saying, that's not definitely going to be me. I can't live like that. You know, that's way too holy and thou for me. But in my 20s, I got this very deep experience of an awakening, you know, visions of God as light energy, a pure energy, which was calling me to keep taking that energy in so I could be like him, which meant be more loving, be more kind, be more wise, be more gentle. And I remember that at 23. I was in Jamaica at the time dating someone, and it just shifted me so much that I got back to where I was living at the time in Florida. And I just decided I was going to go to India for a while. And I went to India for a month, stayed with the community there. I came back to Miami, where I was living. And in a month's time, I was, you know, ushered off to living in an ashram in a center because Daddy Janki, who's the leader of the Brahma Kumaris now and still alive, by the way, everyone, you've got to look her up. It's Dadi Janki, Janki. She's 103 years old. She just left Russia. She's now back in India. She's unstoppable. She looked in my eyes. Yeah, she looked in my eyes and she knew it. She goes, "You're ready. Just come and try for 3 months. If you can do it, stay. If you can't, it's fine." So what was meant to be a three-month experiment has now been over 25 years. And the first 4 years, yeah, Joanza, the first 4 years, I was God incarnated, and you couldn't tell me differently. And and I was walking it, I was looking it, I was talking it. And the most incredible thing about a person coming into their awakening, it's when individuals on the outside begin to vibe into that feeling and begin to sense there's something different above average than they are. And then they start to put you on that pedestal. Now, I had owned 2 nightclubs just before my pop and my awakening. I'm traveling, I'm drinking, I'm hanging out, I'm doing everything that we're supposed to do as young, attractive women. So what happened was I was sitting in the meditation room that we call Baba's room, everyone, and I just looked in, you know, at God's light and in my great-great-grandfather's eyes, Brahma Baba. I says, "I'm not what they think I am." And this gentle whisper came back to me and said, "Look, I don't need you to be perfect. Just be honest. Just be honest with me. And just be honest with yourself." And that was when I no longer needed to be placed on a pedestal for anyone. It took me time, everyone. So I would say about maybe 10 years after that, or maybe 8 years after that, I began to feel the pressure of emanating and representing the highest code of conduct of living as a self-realized person, or as a representation of God's child or God's elder child. And it started to feel like it wasn't right. I wasn't feeling true, because something in me didn't feel like I was being authentic to the people who were believing in me. You know, you get to the point where then it becomes numbers, it becomes buildings. How big are the buildings? How many people are coming to the congregation? How much money goes into the box? And when I saw myself a little bit, you know, leaning to that, I go, "But that's not what Jesus did. That's not what the Buddha did. That's not what Abraham did. Why am I going there? That's not even what my great-great-grandfather did. So why am I going there?" And then I chose inside everyone that I wasn't going to go there. And so if I looked a little disheveled, if I said things that would shock people, if I drove fast cars or if I wore my little jackets and I wanted to be cute, then people didn't put me on a pedestal. And then they started to say, "Could we just walk together?" And I said, "Yes, can we just walk together? I might have a little bit more gifts in a particular way, but then you have a gift in a particular way, and can we just share it?" And so I've been through that process, is what I'm saying. And so the integrity is an individual choice, and I think when you're walking a path of spiritual awakening, you have to listen. You have to listen to what those thoughts are telling you and to see if they're connected to an experience that gives you that notion that you're getting closer to your real freedom. So that answers that part. And in terms of those who have fallen, you know what? It's normal. I believe that we have certain limitations in our personality that are old from many, many past lifetimes. And if I'm not having a deep enough remembrance of the God energy in me, that limitation will come. Say, for example, in the churches when certain priests have to be celibate, but they're not having a deep experience of God, or they're not having a deep experience of Christ, but their hormones are acting up, their energies are acting up, then it becomes warped because they're suppressing it, and it comes out in ways that we hear in the news today. So I don't think that, you know, we should suppress who we are, but we should find a way to be honest with the feelings that we're going through so that they don't end up being you know, horrendous stories, breaking the faith of people who have turned to us to find courage and faith.
Well, Dr. Jenna, thank you for that. And, you know, I encourage people to call in. If you have a question or a comment, you just have to press 1, and they're starting already, Dr. Jenna. Somebody wants to talk to you. Ready to take a call?
Yeah, as long as they're sweet.
You're on the air with Dr. Jenna. Please state your name.
This is Brother Muscat Genius, still in the car, waiting to work.
I'm sorry, did you say Dr. Brother Louis Gossett Jr.?
Brother Gossett, this is Bob. Yeah, I'm still on the freeway, so I have a good chance to listen to all your words.
Hi, my sweet brother.
Hello, how you doing?
Oh, good. I hope I'm making you proud. Thank you. Yes, yes, for sure.
And Juwan is another cherished fruit on the tree that's going into
yes.
My direction.
Yes.
So
thank you, Baba.
Just, you humble me when I listen. So I have very little to say. Just I'm with you.
Thank you. Thanks
but
for your blessings.
I want to know the people that's in the life, and it's a simple process. Well, sometimes we make very complicated, but it's simple. We let go and let God do the stuff that's good, that's better than us. And the words that we get,
yes, sir.
That meditation and purity are the best words there are. So I'm going to be quiet and listen to some more of Sister Jenna.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Great hearing your voice. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We're still in himself.
Wow, what an awesome, awesome brother.
I love him.
Brother Lewis.
What a good human being. What a good human being. Mm-hmm. And you see, that's what's happening. We need to hear the voices of good people more, because the voice of the bully and the voice of the anger and the voice of the racism and the voice of hate, what that does, it kind of silences the good people. They get scared. But I keep amplifying and emphasizing good, never be scared, because the dark is moving out. And so because the dark is moving out, it's just trying to scare us in the corner because it knows it's getting out of the story. So just keep amplifying your good and your light.
Everybody, again, our special guest is Dr. Sister Jenna. If you have a question or a comment, you'd like to join the conversation, all you have to do is just press 1 and we can bring you on. Sister Jenna, could you tell us about the meditation museums and why they are a must visit for people? They've got to get by there and see. Why are they must visit spots? Mm. You know, when a person comes to the museum, what is it that you're hoping that they take away from their experience when they come by?
I'm hoping that they will leave the door with a greater sense of inner truth, a greater sense of inner dignity, and a greater sense of purpose. And that's the foundation of what the museum was founded on. My very dear friend, Madame Harriet Fulbright, from the Fulbright Scholarship family, we both worked on the narrative and the idea of saying, okay, if this works in D.C., we're good. We're good. And so for 10 years now, it's been functioning very well. We actually host over 200 events a year, free events for the community. We are especially thrilled by the programs that we offer to young African-American men and young African-American women, in which we offer a self-esteem and self-empowerment class, preparing them for the world outside. And that's been always something that's touched my heart a lot. And again, from science to the environment to women issues to nutrition issues, it's a consistent process of helping us all to grow more. You'll see beautiful, oh, Joanne, so you have to come and visit. You'll see beautiful pictures and artifacts and art pieces that are hundreds of years old. We have an exquisite piece that was donated by the last remaining Buddhist monk artist in South Korea, Chikpak Sung, who offered it as a gift to the museum. That's also there. And I think the biggest thing that people feel, Joanza, when they come into the museum is the silence. Mm. And in the silence, you can actually see what you've been missing in your life.
Let's talk about silence for a moment, because in this world, you have to get away. I mean, we're constantly either talking or hearing. You know, either we're speaking or we're listening, you know. From the time you wake up, I mean, many people wake up to noise. It's the alarm clock, you know, that wakes us up. And the first thing we hear in the morning, something actually wakes us up, and then it's noise from that point on during the course of the day. And oftentimes people are constantly hearing, and rarely get an opportunity to hear themselves, to hear their own thoughts, to get in tune with that inner voice, which leads me to my next question. Let's talk about silence. You actually teach a form of meditation called Raja Yoga Meditation. What exactly is Raja Yoga Meditation? There's so many different types of meditation, you know, with so many different names, TM, Kriya Yoga Meditation. I mean, all these different types of meditations. How does Raja Yoga Meditation differ from the other systems of meditation?
Well, for one, it's free, and that's always a big plus. The second one is that because it's Raja Yoga Meditation or Raja Yoga Meditation, it's one of the highest forms of yoga and meditation someone can practice, because that's it. It's about your thoughts. It's not about your physical activities. It's not about breathing. It's not about creating a mantra. It's not about having a guru. It's not about turning beads. It's not about reading a scripture. It is about observing what you're thinking, why you're thinking, and does that serve your higher self and your higher purpose? And so there are 7 lessons. Each lesson lasts for approximately an hour. And in our 9,000 centers across in 120 countries, the lesson is offered free of charge to all visitors who come in. Our pure feeling is to be able to offer the tools so that we can become responsible for our lives, sort of connected to your opening statement before on the show, when you were sharing that a lot of people turn to leaders or spiritual leaders to be their support, to be their guide, to be their agent to God. Raja Yoga Meditation wants you to have a direct link to Source, but more than anything else, it wants you to sustain the connection and begin to expand the connection.
So is in many forms of meditation, the breath is focused upon. It's highlighted in many forms of meditation. Is the breath, does that play a major role in Raja meditation, or is it more the mind or the thoughts?
Yeah, it doesn't. Even though our every thought is connected to a breath, so it's important for us to recognize that whatever we think also gives life. And so we are not focusing much on the physical. The physical is just as important, but our primary focus is on the level of consciousness, subconscious. There's a Sanskrit word, Jwanza, that we identify as the sum total of our many lives, or the sum total of all the many experiences we've had in one life, and it's called sanskar. And sanskar, translated in the English, means the impressions left behind, the personality trait that I have now believed in and formed. And so when I practice Raja Yoga, it's for the practitioner to focus on the soul, which is the original energy inside the body, connecting to the higher consciousness of the God energy, and removing any sanskar that remains that might be feeding illusion. So I call illusion ALGI, which is an acronym I use all the time. A for anger, L for lust, G for greed, A for attachment, and E for ego. That's the root cause of all of our suffering globally, environmentally, relationship-wise, and financial-wise, and even mentally. If that algae is what we're feeding consciously or unconsciously, that's the root cause of our suffering and our obstacle. So Raja Yoga's aim is to get rid of that energy so we can live completely free. We can live. We can live. And that's what it's about.
So someone who's practicing it, let's say you take a newcomer to the whole practice mm-hmm. of Raj Yoga, and they've been doing it for, say, 3 months, should it be done daily? Is it something that should be done daily or several times a day? Is it done sitting?
Yes.
I mean, do you have to sit and do it? Eyes open or closed?
No. Yes to everything. You do Raj Yoga meditation when you're walking, moving around, sitting, eating, speaking. Right now I'm practicing Raj Yoga with you, which means as I'm speaking with you, I'm also where my wonderful brother Lewis is on the line and all of your listeners are on the line. And internally, I'm allowing my inner world to focus on the God energy, the light energy, which has a lot more love and peace and vibration of truth in it. And so as I'm speaking with you, I'm also practicing Raj Yoga meditation. So I don't want to delude myself or deceive myself by thinking the only time I can be enlightened is when I'm sitting and I have 20 minutes to spare in this hectic day of technology. No, I want to be able to bring it into everything that I do. So the practice of Raj Yoga meditation is to make it a more moving meditation and yoga practice, is to make you more consciously aware, where are you intention-wise? Where are you? Where are your thoughts going? Are they present? Or are they in your past or too much in your future? Are you stuck in jealousy? Are you stuck in anxiety? Are you stuck in want? Or are you just really living your truth? I'm a loving soul. I'm a peaceful soul. I'm a pure soul. And now I'm about to fire this person because he's incompetent in his job. And so you're coming from this place in which you are being good in your spirit. And even if things aren't working out the way that you wanted, and you might have a job to be a manager, and you do have to fire someone who's not been doing something well in the company or they've been stealing from the company, then you would sit with them in a place of empathy and compassion, knowing that this has to be done because stories have to continue. And being peaceful and passive doesn't mean to let everybody get away with everything, but it means to come from a place in which you don't want to impart suffering on someone. So that has a lot to do with where you are on the inside, even if you have to make hard decisions.
So what if somebody says, I've been doing
this. Isn't that different?
Yeah. Oh,
that's a
very
completely
much
different twist, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But if someone's been doing it for 3 to 6 months and, they're expecting changes, when people pick up a practice, anything new, they say, okay, well, I'm going to start practicing Raj Yoga. I listened to Sister Jenna on Juwanza for Life, and, that sounds like that's for me. And they start practicing, and 3 to 6 months later, they're still experiencing challenges, in their life, because oftentimes people equate challenges with, I'm doing something wrong, And so what would you say to somebody who says, well, I must not be doing this right. I must not be doing this Raj Yoga thing in the proper way. So you're not suggesting, though, that if done properly even, that will remove the challenges from an individual's life, because, challenges happen to everybody at every stage of, development. I mean, because people, when they pick up something new, they're often doing it because they want results, and good results, positive results. They're looking for positive change, and if there are still challenges, that does not necessarily mean that they're not doing the practice properly. Is that correct?
You are so good. You're so good. What I know from my own experience is everyone who actually starts the meditation course all leave that something happened, something shifted. And one of the things about Raj Yoga meditation, it's very knowledge-based. It's knowledge based on self, on the supreme source of energy, on the law of karma philosophy, on the cycle of time. It's also rooted in the knowledge of the powers that we're all born with. Nobody can take your power. No one can steal your power. You can only forget your power, but your power will always be in you. And so a lot of the knowledge that comes through Raj Yoga is actually there to help the soul to cope with all of its karmic debris that it's traveling with. So if somebody comes and is expecting to be cured in 6 months, I will be the first person to tell them, this isn't the place for you. We're a lifelong path of study and teachings. And the only thing that we ask folks to come into the door with if they want to see change is to be sincere. This isn't a competition. Nobody knows what's at the depths of anybody's spirit that we're still hiding from the world. Even hiding from ourselves, it needs addressing. And so that might take time, and I can't rush you for your healing, nor can you rush yourself for your healing. That healing will take place when you deeply and sincerely are ready to do so. So if folks don't like Raj Yoga meditation, then perhaps it's really not their path. So you mentioned about all these various forms of yoga, which is one, and all these various forms of meditations, which is another. And I think people just have to find where they tribally feel comfortable in. I tribally, at this point, feel comfortable here. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow I'll feel like it has done what it has done for me. And then I end up in another tribe of folks who seem to be amplifying where I need to go. So it's not that you have to stay so stuck on one thing as your wear-it-all. You know, it's just, it's working for me now. Let me see. So the invitation is for folks to come, to give it a try, and to be very sincere about your change. It's, you know, to fix what's happening inside of us at a deep-rooted level, it doesn't take us, it doesn't happen instantly. It's not like the culture that we've been conditioned to be raised in, where you're watching the basketball game, the NBA finals between the Cavs and the Golden State, and then all of a sudden you see a Domino's pizza commercial come on and you can call and in 20 minutes a Domino's is there. No, this is totally different. You've been traveling right for a long time and you haven't been paying attention. And so you might have missed a lot of things. So in the silence and in the meditation, you can catch what you've been missing and then repair it with knowledge.
Well, Dr. Jenna, the calls keep coming in. The phone, you should see this board. It's just completely full, and more people want to talk to you. Ready to take another one?
Good. Yes, absolutely.
All right. 7829, you're on the air with Dr. Sister Jenna. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for your patience.
Thank you. This is Dr. Ruby, and I
Hi, Dr. Ruby. Om Shanti.
I wanted to just call and thank you for all the work that you do, because I have been meditating and doing things for a little while now, but a few years ago, just going to the meditation museum and the retreats really did have a huge impact on me and brought me a lot of peace, and just being around other spiritual people, you can just feel the energy at the meditation museum and the events that they host. You can just feel the loving, uplifting energy. So I would encourage people to go and just experience it. And my question is, I've got this question a lot for people who have never really meditated or don't know how, or say they don't know how to stop thinking or quiet their mind, you know, what would be your advice on how to get started with that for someone who really hasn't done it before or has a problem sitting still?
Thank you, Dr. Lathan. That's a great question, and I do get it quite often. Sometimes I generally observe the person to see, you know, just vibrationally where they're at. But overall, I'll always invite individuals, please just start where you are. What are you going through? What are you feeling? Be very clear with that. And just take one thought at a time, one idea at a time in which you're willing to focus on and address. One of the main thoughts that we offer a lot of individuals in our Raj Yoga course is, consider yourself a soul And we have an installation at both museums that identify the feelings that you carry or experience when you're in your truth, when you're in your soul awareness. This is how you're supposed to feel. So you grab onto one of these ideas, which is a remembrance of the soul. Remember, this is who you are. Remember, you are peace. Remember, you are pure potential. And then try to see how you can address that pure potential towards the challenge that you're going through. The reason why our minds tend to be a little bit all over the place is that we've not been paying attention from coming from that place of authenticity and truthfulness with ourselves. And so there's a lot of little stuff going on in us that's unfinished. And so a lot of those thoughts are creating the peacelessness. So now in the meditation that we teach, please never, everyone who's listening on this interview, don't you ever believe that when you meditate, you're supposed to stop thinking. Your soul is in your body and life is too valuable to become null and void and numb. We are actually here to think. We're actually here to grab the right kinds of thoughts. Just like you, Dr. Lathan, you got the right thought about what you needed to heal your thyroid cancer because you were listening. And that's what the meditation is to do. It's supposed to help us to move out the distracting thoughts and begin with one thought that is positive, that is true, that is productive, and you will see automatically how that thought begins to guide you and lead you towards feeling a lot more at peace, a lot more centered and focused, thus giving us the power to make the right choices. So again, I invite folks, start where you are. Second thing, be aware you're a soul. And there's a quality in you. You've not been paying attention to that. Focus on that one idea and quality and let that start to germinate in you. And then use that feeling to address what's making you so peaceless. And that's meditation because you're feeling a little bit better. So you're healing the peacelessness that's going on. So it means you're doing it. You're doing better. It's getting better.
Excellent. Dr. Lee. Thank you. Yes, thank you for that. I think that is so true, really finding that connection to your inner voice requires just some stillness, and the more you practice it, the more connected you feel, and absolutely, and the healing happens and begins and continues. So thank you.
You're welcome, and I want to add to everyone that your meditation is also important when you're interacting with other people, and it starts with how you feel when you say hello. And that signals to you what's going on inside of you, if there's a duality or a conflict, or if there's free flow. If you feel confident, strong, secure, positive, constructive, productive, cooperative, then you're in your soul awareness. And if you happen to be feeling scared, uncertain, insecure, inferior in front of that person, there's a struggle going on in you. So right there you've gotten your signal. Then you use the knowledge of knowing who you are and go, but I'm not that. Then you go back to what is the soul, but I am light, I am love, I am peace. And if it's not working, then you just call God in and go, come on, give me some extra juice here. You've reminded me I am love. I am peace. I don't need to feel inferior in front of this person. That's your child. That means that's my brother. And so when you start to feel inside of your soul, you're shifting, you're changing, you're getting the strength, you just meditated. So see, the whole meditation is really based on wisdom. And when there's enough acquired wisdom, you are a meditator. It isn't that sitting down and getting away from the world only. A big part of it is the way you feel when you're in action.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lathan. He's a regular. Dr. Lathan, everybody, is a regular on the show. Comes on every second Thursday of the month, talks about a different aspect of holistic health. So I invite everybody to tune in, not this Thursday coming up, but the following Thursday. She'll be my special guest again. Thank you so much, Dr. Ruby. Great hearing your voice. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Peace. positive energy with Dr. Latham, another very wonderful person who I've had the opportunity to learn from and grow with. Everybody else who's online, if you have a question or a comment you'd like to join the conversation, please feel free. All you have to do is press 1. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. My special guest today, as you know, is Sister Dr. Jenna. We're talking about trust in a changing world. Wow, this is a very powerful interview, and I want everybody to know you can actually go back and listen to this show in the archives over and over again and share it with people that you know might not have had the opportunity to hear this show. The show will be archived approximately 30 minutes following the show, so you'll be able to go back and listen yourself and invite other people to tune in to the archive shows and listen as well. Dr. Jenna, what advice would you offer to people when looking at the state of the world today? I mean, there's so much going on in the world. You can't turn on the news today without, I mean, daily new things coming up. I mean, all kinds of stuff, scandals, all kinds of, I mean, people shooting up schools. I mean, there's always something going on in the news, and it can make people really feel uneasy and, you know, not really have a sense of security. What advice could you give the nation in terms of, you know, how to view the current climate that we're living in now?
Today I can speak very strongly and share with everyone that if you've ever felt like a rejected stone, you're going to be used. And I think that the culture that we have now bumped into, walked into, and we're all collectively involved. Sometimes people don't like when I say that, but every time you got angry, jealous, was if you were ever prejudiced, if you'd ever criticized, put down, berated anyone, then we are all a part of the energy that we're witnessing right now. It's just that it is so amplified on one level that it seems to be directed towards specific groups of God's children. Whether you're an immigrant, whether you are Jewish, or whether you are African-American or brown skin, whatever the case might be, or for a particular religious belief system, it seems to be there's a voice that's trying to reject you from the story. And I'm just here to tell you your rejected product is going to be used. Because at a time when folks are saying this is not needed, that is not needed, that is not needed, they're going to find themselves at a wit's end when they're going to realize there are holes, there are gaps, there are parts that are missing. The story isn't complete. It's not complete because you're not in it. And they're going to need all of these rejected, you know, stones or rejected ideas or rejected people that there seems to be a very big promotion about. So one thing I'd like to emphasize, if you felt rejected, hold on tight. You're going to be leading pretty soon because it's your time. The second thing is the age that we're in is an age in which we're being called to be authentic, truthful, dignified, honest, and pure. Authentic, truthful, honest, dignified, and pure. And if we can't bring that vibration into the vibration that we are witnessing on CNN, on Fox, on ABC, whatever the case might be, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, on the Hill, at the Pentagon, at Camp David, wherever it might be in the country, where you're not feeling those qualities, then you are the one that the world is waiting for. We're going to need more of us that emanate that energy to bring this thing back in order. I speak to a lot of leaders all the time, and this is a very big concern. I was in the Middle East last year, and I'll never forget speaking to members of the royal family, and one said to me, "We just never expected this from America." And it was quite, it kind of took me aback a little, and I went, "Yeah, neither were we." But it is happening. And so the fact that we know that this energy has always been somehow festering in the earth, the vibration has been festering in the earth of America. Racism still hasn't been absolved or taken care of. you know, using immigrants and people who are coming over for opportunities to build your country and still not give them status or give them dignity or give them the worth that they need. All that vibration is festering in the earth here. And whatever is the quality or the vibration of the earth is going to impact the consciousness of the people living on that land. And so all of us now are struggling to deal with ourselves first before we can actually begin to even grapple with the dark energy that we're seeing in front of us. Because what that dark energy is showing us is either a trace of what we've got in us or a big amount, but we're hiding it from other people. And so it's time to do this cleansing. So we're doing a cleansing. This is what America is going through. It's going through a cleansing. Now, the third part to the question is, it's uncomfortable. And if we allow the negativity to keep us silent, they will win. And there is an anxiety in the air that if we don't speak up now, there will be no return. Thank God for the March for Lights, those young boys and girls from Parkland and all the other schools that are rising up. Thank God for the mothers who are demanding an end to gun violence. If you notice two things, everyone, and please remember these two things. Actually, there's a lot, but let me mention these two. When the Women's March took place, you heard nothing from the police. When the Children's March took place, you heard nothing from the police. The mothers were the nurturers. They're light. They made it so quiet. No one could say anything. When the kids spoke, that's purity. That light was pushing out all the darkness. They couldn't speak. So this is why I tell you, we all must rise up. We all must use whatever we felt. If we felt hurt, rejected, unwanted, undervalued, we now all must rise up and go, well, I see your game, but do you see mine? Because mine's the next generation. Mine is the next story. The age of truth, the age of light, the age of dignity is the next age. So you can carry on with all your stuff, but I am going to be carrying this light of dignity and truth with me. Anyone want to come with me? And that's what we need to start to tell everyone, because it's all going to be distractions.
You know, Dr. Jenna, there are a lot of, when we, you know, we're having this conversation, you know, it's clear to those people, excuse me, that are, you know, on a spiritual path. One of the hopes and prayers of people is that, you know, we need more self-realized people. You know, we need more people are self-realized. And could you talk about that for a moment? And what is self-realization? And because, again, when we look around the world, it's clear that if more people were in touch with that their God self, that we wouldn't be experiencing exactly what we're experiencing today. So, you know, when you talk about the importance of self-realization, what is the importance of an individual getting to know that true, you know, their true selves with regard to humanity, and what happens if they don't?
What happens if they don't is what we're witnessing now in America will amplify 1,000 times more. So if you're comfortable with this energy, touche, but I'm going to move out if it continues 1,000 times more. And self-realization to me is somebody who has a real sense of self. And it's connected to my answer to Dr. Ruby Lathan that when I understand how the energy of soul consciousness or soul awareness feels in my human form, then I will be living a very self-realized self. I believe everyone actually has felt themselves, especially when they lay in their beds at night or when they're taking a shower is when they're most relaxed. And whatever their actions have been for that day, that week, that month, that year, if it has gone against their original peace and purity as God's creation, it's going to disturb their minds. They will be sleepless. they will be angry, they'll be scared, they'll be fear-driven, and they will realize that in those moments of quietude. And so everyone has the capacity to sense what is their real self and to walk into self-realization. I just think that most individuals need the courage and the power to be able to tap into the growth of their self-realization rather than just seeing it there and just not knowing what to do and just using their old energy. So self-realization will move us towards the age of truth. A lack of self-realization will amplify this age of lies and deception and deceit and darkness and greed and ego and lust and attachment 1,000 times more. So if you like that energy, keep investing. If you don't, wake yourself up. Find good people with good values and good morals, because it's not about law. It's about the morals and the ethics of a person that must prevail.
You know, you mentioned, Doctor, you mentioned distractions. And, you know, we live in a world where, you know, we're our experiences with the external world. You know, we see, we hear, you know, we taste, you know, we feel, you know, all of these things. Mm. And we live in an environment where as we wake up from the moment we open our eyes, you know, if we don't intentionally, yeah, oh, exactly. Oh my God, please, yes, you know, if we don't on purpose go inside, if we don't intentionally say, you know, I'm going to go inside to, you know, get away from the external world for a moment, just for a few minutes, at least just a few minutes, if not a few hours, then we come back to the external. You know, could you talk about the inner being, you know, and when we neglect that and how it's important for us to actually not just take time but actually make time to nurture the inner being, because, you know, from, again, the moment we open our eyes, we're dealing in a world and everything is externalized. you know, just that, talk about the neglect of the inner being that happens in the face of the worldly distractions and, you know, why it's important, you know, to reconnect with that inner person.
I think it's so important, Joanza, that we have a kind of a compass that can gauge where we've come from. And I believe that every living human soul has come from grace and divinity and dignity and peace and purity and happiness. And whether you're getting up in the morning and getting coffee or getting the kids off to work, or, you know, you're getting dressed and getting ready, or you're stuck in traffic, your inner compass is where your thoughts are anchored. And even if you're stuck on 495, but your compass is, you know who you are, you're taking care of yourself. You don't necessarily need to find an hour to take care of yourself. But now here's the trick. Because of technology and because of just the speed of everything now, a lot of our internal world, it isn't focused on the gauge of where I've come from. It's focused on paying the bills, getting the next job, getting more followers, selling my product, getting the message out. That we're still focused on a very human conscious level, what I call body awareness or body consciousness. So even though we might be walking around and having thoughts, we have to check that if our thoughts are only based on the limited, the physical consciousness, the limited ideas of what we think we are or who we think we are, that's not taking care of the self. But if I'm going to work and I'm still making things happen, I'm mowing the lawn, but I've got my gauge connected to who I am in spirit, how I was born, my original design, that's my time. So if we can somehow find ways to integrate that quality of interior truth when we're doing the radio show, when you're getting ready to edit, when you're getting ready to share the information, or, you know, go to a party or a function or network, you got to keep checking, where are you on the inside? The other thing I wanted to share is that it's good to have private time, quiet time. You got to make it your ritual. If you're married and you've got kids, you got to make it a ritual that you tell your family, give me my 15 or 20 minutes, just leave me alone. And you've got to make that very, very clear to them. I need this so I can be better for you. And they have to hear it more than once because they won't understand. Then you have to tell them 2, 5, 10 times until they really say, oh, daddy really needs this. Oh, mommy really needs this. And then they will leave you. And you take your 20 minutes before you go to bed. You take your 20 minutes when you wake up in the morning. You take your 20 minutes when you're at lunch. You take your few minutes when you're driving from one meeting to another instead of listening to something negative in the news. You take your few minutes there. It can take a lot of minutes. There's something that we practice, Jawanza, called traffic control in the Brahma Kumaris. And traffic control is where we pause for 60 seconds every hour on the hour. So by the end of it is, because by the end of the day, we have captured a good amount of minutes of our inner peace and our inner power. So that means you could be sitting in a meeting and your eyes are opened and you go back to your original making. Who am I? What am I? Go back to the original quality of the soul and allow those feelings to take you over for those first 60 seconds and then get back to doing what you used to do until it becomes a natural buildup. We don't have a society that is designed to turn us inwards. We're living in a culture that says be outside of yourself. So we have to find simple techniques and simple steps that are integrating and help us to actually not make it a pressure to try to get back to ourselves.
You know, you mentioned just now in your last statement, you know, who am I, what am I? And we talked just briefly about why am I, you know, because when we look at life and we look at everything that's going on in the world, and it's easy to get caught up in the, you know, the stuff we see on the news and everything, and you know, but there, of course, are happy times in our lives as well. I mean, there are times when we're extremely joyous. There are times in our life when everything is just seems to be going perfect, you know, even in that contrasted with the times when things aren't going too well. But then when you take a step back and you look at the world as a whole and, you know, you look at, you know, your world wherever you are and things are going good, there's somebody starving in India, you know, there's somebody starving in Ethiopia, you know, whose life is just, they have a whole nother reality. And then the question may come up, why, you know, why? Because what is the point in all of this, you know, why was this all created? Could you talk about why am I for a moment, just the purpose of life?
No, because, and the reason why is that it's what it is, and I'll tell you why I think it's what it is. We're each walking with our own scripts, and we are all going to play out the part ordained to us. The suffering it's not because of the part I'm playing, but the suffering is because of my attachment to the story of my part. So the suffering is from the energy of the attachment to my story. And the vibration of that energy of attachment is what is amplifying not only my personal suffering, but also a collective suffering. And so why it's happening? Why it's happening? Because it's written in the story of this big thing called life. Do I like it? No. I hate it. I literally hate it. I was having a conversation yesterday around dinner, and I was sharing with a friend of mine visiting from Germany, and I told them, I didn't come to this because of my overwhelming love for God or my overwhelming love for me to become a pure example of God's presence. I'm doing this because of my love for humanity. And when my humanity continues to fail me over and over again, my compassion breaks and I don't know where to turn to really keep finding the fortitude to keep going forward. And then comes that one little aha moment. You turn back to yourself. You turn to yourself knowing that the reason why you're here is to show what good energy can do, what positive energy can do. And if one of your brothers and sisters, if they're not doing so well, you can do that. We were talking today about Google, Facebook, Apple, and Amazon. And I was saying they have so much money, they could end poverty in the world. Why haven't they come up with an idea of how to go into these developing countries and help those people to end poverty? This was my question at breakfast this morning. This is just my question. So it's not that there isn't a solution to end the suffering of the world. The solution is there. The issue is that folks with a lot are so attached to their greed and their power and their money that they're not even catching the thought of how they could use the funds to actually end global poverty. So again, why the spiritual awakening is so important, why the self-realization is so important, why meditation is so important, why your show is so important, is that hopefully somebody will hear today's conversation and they have a lot and they start to think of ways to end global suffering. Because it really shouldn't be happening. We're supposed to be civilized. There's no reason for there to be somebody going to bed at night starving. There's no reason for it. So the why just the why is just the ignorance of spirit. That's my answer.
Thank you. Everybody, you're enjoying this? I know I am. You can sit at Sister Jenna's feet with me and ask your questions as I'm asking questions. Please feel free to join the conversation. All you have to do is press 1 if you're listening by phone. You know, you talked about suffering and ending, you know, global suffering. But even if you were talking about it on a personal level, you know, a friend of mine shared with me yesterday that in the last several months, she had lost like 6 people, you know, in her family and friends, and just passed away, you know. And of course, that's not something that would make her joyous. I mean, of course, that, you know, her being a loving person cares for them, and, you know, she has a very tender heart herself. What advice could you give to somebody that's suffering from tragedy, just on a personal level?
I'd definitely be quiet with them. And I'd give them the time that they need to heal. And I would say, I'm so sorry for you having to endure this. And I would tell them that there's benefit in everything that's happening. In Indian philosophy, in Hinduism, there's a philosophy known as karma philosophy. I don't know if you've ever heard about it. Karma philosophy is you reap what you sow. And I don't necessarily always agree with everything, you know, connected to it. However, I have noticed for myself that certain things that are happening to me are happening for me, and it's happening for a reason. I just don't have the wisdom to understand the why right now. But the how is what I need to step into, not necessarily the why. Because how I need to handle loss is to accept that I've not really owned anything in life but my experiences. And how I need to embrace this loss right now is to accept that it was time for them to go. It's time for them to go. And there must be, in Indian culture, we believe that you take more than one birth. So there must be a family, a love that's pulling them, the soul, to another dimension, to another family, to another experience that is in their souls recorded, which you and I have no idea of what's sitting there. Because it makes no sense that one person will have to endure the loss of six people that she loves. But it does make sense at the grander picture, where it's saying there's more to it than this. You've loved what you've needed to love. Now take what you've learned from these six folks and carry it as a mantle to keep their legacy alive. And that's what I would tell her.
Mm. You just did. She's listening. Thank you for that, Doctor. Right, thank you so much. You know, there's a lot of, when we look at, again, you know, we talked about the things that are the tragedy in the world and, you know, things that are going on. But there's a lot of good in the world, and people are waking up. You know, there are a lot of people that are listening to your shows, that are listening to this show and others, and a lot of people are starting to realize that, you know, the way that they've been doing things just hasn't been working. More people are meditating now. More people are going inside. You're seeing this transformation, I think. And could you talk about it? You know, people are waking up, and, you know, do you see the shift in the climate? Do you see, does it give you hope that with the new meditators coming in, the new people that are joining us on the spiritual journey consciously, you seeing the climate change? Are you feeling the change in the weather, so to speak?
Absolutely. Every day I feel the change. I'm hosting the Summer of Peace in August of 7th through 9th, and I'm partnering with the Shift Network. And that's all about galvanizing people to address these current issues, the Me Too movement, racism, the global climate issues that we're having, because people are now ready to do something more than just live just for their own lives. We're also working on another project in Sacramento, Florida. The Summer of Peace is an online program, but the other program will be in September 20 to 23rd, in which our wonderful brother, the great Louis Gossett Jr., will be a keynote speaker speaking about Hollywood and its impact for change. And so people are speaking up. Jada Smith and Will Smith, they're speaking up. Oprah speaks up in her way. Folks are speaking up, and if you hear as they speak, you will always hear there's wisdom in their words. It goes back again to why Raja Yoga is so important. Where there's knowledge, there will be solutions. When you have inner knowledge, you will solve the world's crisis. And so there's a need for us to understand more how we're supposed to show up in the world. Not necessarily, for me, the why, but the how is where people get stuck. And the how is what we need to focus on right now. How you do it, you get out there. When you see something is not right, you come from your place of peace and you speak to that injustice and you say, this isn't right. The other day, about a few months ago, I was driving to Florida to drop my mother off, to pick her up, rather. And a police officer pulled me over. And I knew, just vibrationally, it was trouble. I just knew it. I knew he was coming to create trouble. And I have a beautiful tan complexion, by the way. But when he came around the passenger side of the door, he looked at my garb. He saw I had on the siren, and I had the little puppy, and my EA was with me in the back. He kind of, like, started off with his aggressiveness. And I just looked at him because I knew I come from the how. How I'm going to deal with this scene, I'm going to come from my place of dignity and peace, and I'm going to look him straight in the eye with the awareness that he must remember he's God's child too. And I could see after 2 minutes he started to stop with that mentality, and I remember telling him, you know, I serve you all. I'm not quite sure why you pulled me over, but I know that he pulled me over because he saw a brown-skinned person in that car because I wasn't doing anything wrong. And so it's my how that I think protected that scene and had him move away without creating any more negative karma for himself or adding any more anger to the climate so that the world would keep depleting its energy. So let us focus on the how are you going to deal with these situations when they show up in front of you. Come from your place of dignity and peace. If it doesn't work the first time, try it a second time. Maybe you need to turn up the volume on that. If it doesn't work the third time or the fourth time, keep trying. it will work on the fifth, the sixth, the tenth time until it becomes your nature that you deal with everything from your level of your how and not I don't know what to do.
Well, let's talk about how then people can deal with when they go through seasons of being uncomfortable. You know, oftentimes when people are making shifts in their own lives, you know, conscious shifts, they go through a period or a season of being uncomfortable. And it might not just be a day of being uncomfortable. It might not just be a week. It might actually quantify as a season. You know, it might be several months, you know, of just feeling this, just feeling uncomfortable, and they might not be able to put their finger on it. They might not be able to understand the why of it. But what would you suggest to people who are going through the how to deal when it's a spiritual thing and they would be conscious of that much, you know, that spiritually they just seem a bit off kilter or a bit uncomfortable? How do you handle that?
What a great question. I call my friends. I really call my evolved friends. And I tell them very honestly what I'm going through. That's one. Two, sometimes it can last for a month, like you said, a season. I will keep reminding myself, this is just a season. This is just a season. But what am I learning? What am I getting from this? What am I learning here? Is there a pattern in my consciousness that continues to take me here over and over again? I can assure everyone listening on air and who will hear this over and over again, you've been through your seasons more than once, or you've been through your season more than once. And so if you really look inwards and you really begin to observe, is there a pattern that you have been sustaining for a long period of time that keeps putting you in that same seasonal frequency? And the answer will be yes. The answer will be yes. And so when you talk to your friends about it and you let it out, you will feel that there's some release taking place, because one of the greatest crimes that we commit against ourselves is to think that we're going through our season alone. There are many, many other individuals who are going through similar situations, and this is why it's good to talk to the right people. If you don't know the right people and you've not galvanized a group of good people, then listen to things that will help you. Listen to things that will help you. The third thing I'd like to recommend that you do, take up your phone and narrate what you're going through. Speak it openly and honestly on your note audio on your phone, and play it back so you can hear, because then it's almost as if you will become your own therapist for that situation that you're going through, and you'll be surprised. You find your own answer, that it was sitting right there inside of you in the first place. You just wasn't hearing yourself clearly. And so I suggest these things. And of course, the fourth thing is take your moments of solitude if you need them, but not for too long. Not for too long. Sometimes just get a change of environment. Sometimes put on your clothes differently. Sometimes get out of the bed from a different place that you usually get out of it. You'd be surprised of how that little change in your action will shift the way that you're thinking. Sometimes do something that you thought you could never do. Just do it. It'll shift what you're going through emotionally inside. And in time, it will pass.
You know, I want to thank you for the extended time that you've given us. The show was advertised from 12 to 1. And you should see, again, the phone lines, the phone bank is just jammed. I don't know if anybody else can get on there. But again, if you have a question, just press 1, everybody. I'll give you an opportunity to speak directly with Dr. Jenna. You know, I'm curious, Doctor, what is your vision for a healed and transformed world? What does it look like to you, and how does it feel? What would be your vision?
Oh, that's so easy. That is so easy. Everyone walking around in their self-worth and self-respect and dignity. That's so easy. it's nobody's problem or nobody's fault why they're treating me or saying the things that they're saying or acting up, but it's my fault if I make them so powerful enough for me to forget that I was born with dignity and I will die in dignity. And so I think it's when everyone carries their self-respect about them, their self-worth about them, and their dignity. That's the global vision. And when that happens, we will live in an age, in Hindi they call it the age of Satyug. Sat is truth and Yug is age. We'll actually wake up one day in an age where no one has to wear a mask, no one has to deceive you, no one has to lie to you, and no one has to play small just so that you can be big. No way. And there's absolutely no need for that.
Well, I'm sure there are people out there that are asking themselves, well, what can I do? You know, how can I make a difference? I'm only one person. What would be your answer to that? You know, because, you know, there are people who want to bring about world compassion and peace versus fear and division. But, you know, it's like, where do I begin with that? I mean, for somebody who just very compassionate, and they said, I want to add my loving kindness, my peaceful energy to this movement of peace. I want to help change the world. How can they do that?
Change themselves. That's the first place. And please don't be deceived by the 50 million followers on your social media to think you're making an impact. You're making an impact when you smile at the lady at the grocery store, when you give the waiter or the waitress an extra tip or a smile. I always travel with blessing cards. I'm actually about to release a new product called Your Blessings. And you give them a card of good wish and hope. And every time you do that to anyone that you encounter, you have made an impact on the world. You have changed someone's feelings and heart. We just had a guy come in the house today, and he was, I hate to say this, but, you know, he looked at me, and he was from a different race, and his beautiful blue eyes and beautiful brown hair, and I could see his energy field belonging to a particular narrative that feels that, you know, there's a very privileged consciousness. But I remember looking at him this morning, and I said, you know, you're not living to your full potential, and you know that, don't you? And he just got shocked. That guy sat with me for 45 minutes and had a heart-to-heart chit-chat, gave him some food, gave him a blessing, and he left, and he just turned back, and he said, what was that you said I should do every morning? And that was it. So I might not be changing the entire world, but I know as a fact I changed that guy who came to fix my AC today. So my suggestion to everyone, please value everyone that comes in front of you and know that you're making a mark on the world. You never know who that person might turn out to be one day. Our former mayor in D.C., Mayor Anthony Williams, was an orphan. He was in an orphanage, and his beautiful mother adopted him and brought him up along with his other six or seven siblings. This young man also had speech impediments, and he also wasn't very smart. Turned out to be a graduate. I think, did he graduate at Harvard or one of these elite colleges, and ended up to be one of the best mayors Washington, D.C. had in a long time. So you never know who that one person is that you would have an impact on. There's a young guy who was homeless, came to the museum, wanted help. Sister Gita, who's my mother, knows that we don't accept solicitors. But for some reason she felt, Sister Jenna, please speak to him. Spoke to him, gave him an opportunity. Then 3 weeks later, you know, he's still living in his car. He has no money. There's a house next door to us. It's empty. I called my friends, the owners. I said, there's this guy. I don't really know him well, but looking at him, I think if he's given a chance, he just might be able to put his life together. Here we are 6 years later. He's got a job. He's got his own apartment. He's bought his car. He's doing Uber. He's working at MGM. He's fine. So you don't know. It doesn't have to be the whole world, but let it be that one person. And maybe that one person will be the one that the world's been waiting for as well.
You know, that reminds me of the story or parable or story, for lack of a better term, of the little boy that was walking, excuse me, the little boy that was walking on the beach, and he was picking up starfish that had been washed upon the shore by the ocean and picking them up one by one and throwing them back into the ocean. And there was an old man off in the distance watching him. I mean, and there were God knows how many starfish that had washed up on the shore. And this old man approached him and said, you know, you'll be here all day. I mean, you can't possibly think that you're making a difference, you know, throwing these starfish back into the ocean. You know, you'll never throw them all in there. You're not making a difference. And the little boy picked up one, and before he threw it back in the water, said, well, it's going to make a difference to this one, you know, and threw it back in the water.
There you go. And that's it. I think that we need to move away from the illusion that our lives aren't making a difference if it's not changing millions of people. But we must accept that our life does make a difference if we have even changed just one person. It made a difference.
You know, Sister Jenna, this has been an awesome energy. Excuse me, I meant interview, but the energy is awesome too. But you recently put out a CD. Can you talk about that project? You recently released a new CD entitled "The Inclusion Revolution," Together with Love, which I know has an interesting story behind it. Can you tell us about the CD and how that came together?
Yeah, because of the current climate in America, I went back to the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and all of our, you know, E Pluribus Unum, and I looked at those words and I read them over and over and over again, and I said, but these words mean all of us. Why is there this conversation of the forgotten people, or conversations of immigrants, or conversations that Muslims are like this, or Mexicans are like this, or blacks are, you know, to be given higher sentences just because they were caught with a little bit of a marijuana or something, or what have you. And I said that this our founding fathers didn't look like it. That was what these words meant. And so I designed the meditation CD as one that would be a moving meditation, one in which you could do when you were working out or going to work or just really getting the house together, that we could just hear these words again. E Pluribus Unum is one of my favorite. We the People is another one of my favorite. And I looked at just what was going on, and the meditations were really about bringing us to an understanding of these words, and that they meant it for all of us, not just for some. And I want to give a word out to my brothers and sisters who the media and certain leaderships are propagating as those who were forgotten. I definitely don't believe at all anyone has been forgotten. I believe that everyone had the fundamental right to keep upgrading their lives, to keep going deeper into their education, to keep going deeper into studying, listening, and watching things that have merit, that have value. And I believe that people who sit on the sofa, whoever that might be, and watch television shows that are not creating or amplifying their highest selves, is that they are forgetting themselves. Because you've got immigrants who have educated themselves. You've got Americans here. We're all Americans, but you've got people who are born here who have educated themselves. And I don't believe that it's just because of a particular color or a particular area that you're living in America that nobody remembered you because certain people who were in power had a different tone, colored skin. I believe that this is also the time for those who felt they were forgotten to higher their education, to become more involved with other cultures, to travel the world and learn that everyone is God's child, and that America was the only country that gave us an opportunity to see what an age of truth would look like if everyone was given the freedom and the space to live a life of dignity. And I have to say that if we actually moved towards that culture, we would celebrate every single day. And so the CD is all about bringing this energy of togetherness more and more.
Well, how can people find out how, you know, more information about the CD and how they can get the CD and more information about the Meditation Museum and the Inclusion Revolution?
Well, definitely listening to your show over and over again. And they can go to iTunes or Amazon. It's there. Just look for Sister Jenna or Inclusion Revolution Together with Love. And they can visit my website at americameditating.org if they'd like more information on the radio show or some of the products. Or if they're local in Washington, D.C., just Google Meditation Museum and there'll be a host of things that folks can participate in if they happen to want to change.
You mentioned America Meditating. Can you talk about your show? I mean, everybody, I just want you to know that if you like this, if you're enjoying this interview, you can hear so many more interviews with Sister Jenna. She has her own radio broadcast, and you can tune into that all the time as well. Could you talk about America Meditating?
Yeah, it started because my mother was a cancer survivor, and she has the most beautiful voice and the most beautiful spirit, and I thought it would be so good for her to do something even though she couldn't move around much. So what was to have been a 15-minute radio show online on Blog Talk Radio has now turned into a 30-minute to almost an hour show that we do every day, and we've been doing it now for 5 years. We have over 1,000 episodes. We're in 90 countries and over 1 million archive listeners. But more than anything else, the America Meditating Radio show is changing America and changing the world. So everyone we choose to be a guest on the show is really positive and has steps and tools and methods that can help us to make our lives much more better.
You know, this has really been a powerful, powerful interview, and I want to thank you again for the extended time, and thank you to all of the listeners who have tuned in. I want to thank Dr. Lathan for calling in, of course, as well as Brother Louis Gossett Jr. For calling in. And, you know, in closing, I know that there are people that would love to hear what your deepest wish for humanity is at this time. If you could, if this wish was granted to you, what would that wish be? What would be your deepest wish for humanity at this time?
Be honest with yourself and know that that's the channel that can connect you to your God self and your God source so that you can reveal how beautiful He really is.
Wow, everybody, my special guest today is Sister Dr. Jenna. Fabulous, fabulous interview. Again, you want to make sure that you connect with her. Ways in which they can reach you again, Doctor, if they want to follow you on Facebook, they can follow you on Facebook as well. And could you share again how they can get your CD?
Sure, on iTunes or Amazon, and they can also go to americameditating.org. I answer all my Twitters or my tweets. I love tweeting. So they can go to America Meditate, not America Meditating. And feel free to follow me on that, and we can keep in touch. And my purest blessing for all of us is that hang tight, please be true, know that you've got your own answers and you're more than enough. And despite whatever broken pieces that you might have come from, they're good. Those little broken pieces are going to be mended and put together to make such a difference on this planet that you will see God's light will shine through your eyes like 1,000 suns, and it will wake up all of humanity, and I believe that.
Sister Jenna, I just want to say thank you again. It's been a wonderful, wonderful hour and a half. And to all of the listeners, again, I encourage you to get in contact with her. You are welcome to come back on this show anytime.
I got
more than what I expected. I expected a powerful interview, and I definitely got that and some. So, again,
thank
I want to thank you so much for your time. Thank you for all of the work that you've been doing, that you're currently doing, that you've done in the past, and all of the work that you will do in the future. May, you know, Spirit continue to open doors for you so that you can continue to be the blessing on the planet that you have been on this show today.
Thank you, Johnson. Thanks to everyone.
Until the next time, everybody, my name is Jawanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, you can go back and listen to this show over and over again. We have an archives, and you can go back and listen to this show, and you can actually copy and paste the show and share it, okay? You can actually share this with somebody else. If you're enjoying it and you enjoyed the meal today, why not share that meal with someone else that you love who you know didn't get to sit with us today. So again, Dr. Jen, I'm going to have you back as soon as I can. And to everybody, I really appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your day. My name is Jawanza. Who am I? I'm the one who in giving receives more. Who are you? Om Shanti.
Told you I could give you life. Would you leave the boundaries of your mind? I bet you never even knew that there's a universe inside of you. Can I take you back to make it go away? Would you let me be your getaway?
Universe inside of you. Can I